Hi, and welcome to episode 24 of Sustainable Photography. Today, I'm talking with my friend Jen Madigan about outsourcing. Jen is a lifestyle photographer and a business owner with over 12 years of experience in the creative entrepreneur world. She's got knowledge in a wide range of systems and programs and just loves helping creatives make their business work for them in a more effortless way. Jen hopes that you'll listen to this episode and get excited about the idea of outsourcing, and that you'll feel it's less scary if you've never done it before. You're listening to Sustainable Photography, where you get support and education to build your profitable business in a way that supports your way of living. I'm Ingvild Kolnes, and after 11 years as a photographer, I want to share what I've learned with you. So if you're looking for confidence, inspiration, and to-the-point tips, keep listening. For full transparency, I also want you to know that I'm a mentor with paid offers, and I might mention some of those in this episode. Hi, Jen. Welcome so much to the podcast. I would like to start by asking you to tell me a little bit more about yourself and your background. Maybe you can just say a little bit about who you are and how you got started and ended up as both a photographer and an online business manager.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I have been in business with photography for just over 12 years. It kind of started out as just something I loved. A friend asked me to do photos for them, you know, as the story goes, the rest is history. Started a business. And then kind of right before the pandemic, I had moved from Iowa to Cleveland, Ohio, and was kind of struggling, you know, being in a new area as a family photographer, trying to get clients, you know, coming from a place where I'd been for 9 years building a business and had a pretty steady client base. So that's why I started becoming an online business manager, sort of started as just a virtual assistant for a friend that had a coaching and photography business that was like, you'd be great at this. And it's so funny because after I started doing it, I realized that this was stuff that people had asked me to help them with. Like I have a lot of creative friends for years, and I had just done it for free and because I loved it, and it kind of, you know, came so easily to me. So that was in fall of 2019 that my friend asked me for, you know, she's like, I'm going to hire you. And I said, cool. And then the pandemic hit, you know, 6 months later. So it kind of worked out. From there, kind of just became a business. I hired some teammates fall of 2020. I have a couple of people on my team now. One is also client facing. So she started client facing last January. So she's been doing it a full year with me. And I just realized the other day that my business is like over 2 years old, the creative, you know, virtual assisting and online business management. So it kind of happened a little bit by accident, a little bit of someone believing in me and saw things that I didn't really think of as a marketable trait.
Nice. But what is an online business?
Yeah, so I work very closely with my clients. I usually take two or three at a time. Right now, I just have two. And I'm in the day-to-day aspects of their business. I'm sending out contracts. I'm sending out invoices. I'm scheduling for them. I do everything from album design and take over that whole process. A lot of my clients are wedding photographers or photographers of some sort. Album design, sending vendors, galleries, blogging, you know, kind of across the board, just making sure their business is running smoothly from more of a behind the scenes standpoint. You know, I don't go do the shoots for them, but I don't edit, but I do kind of all the other things that kind of take up a lot of our time as business owners.
That sounds amazing. Cause I mean, you start off wanting to be a photographer and then you end up having to do all sorts of things that it's not even remotely close to being a photographer. So it sounds amazing to have someone to just deal with all that stuff.
Yeah, I think they love it. Yeah. And for me, like I am creative and I love photography, but honestly, the part I like the most is business. When I graduated from high school, I went to college for a short period and I wanted to be a business person. Like I wanted to work in an office and I wanted to be I didn't want to be an entrepreneur necessarily, but I thought I was going to be in business of some sort.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty similar to you I do love photography, but it's the business side that I'm the most passionate about. But it's I think I would enjoy your work as well, because I also like that whole running of the business side, but not necessarily my own, you know.
So. Oh, trust me. I feel like I still need to sit down and get my stuff together for taxes. All that fun stuff kind of gets pushed to the side, but yeah, that's what I have an assistant for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So this is the Sustainable Photography Podcast. So I have to ask you how a sustainable business looks like to you.
Ooh, I would say, you know, with my photography business, I've been able to sustain my business for so long, 12 years plus years, due to providing a really good client experience, which provides a lot of referrals via word of mouth. And that's how I've kind of tried to build the Jen Madigan creative side of my business too, is just providing like a really good service, taking really good care of my clients. And I don't really have to do a lot of advertising. Most of my clients come to me through referrals. So for me, the sustainability, as far as like making sure you have clients coming in the door, is that. Personally, how to stay sustainable is, you know, really charging appropriately so that you're not having to work all the time and you can still make a living. So that, I think, pricing is a really big part of having a sustainable business, knowing your numbers.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The numbers are very important. And I also have to agree about that whole not having to constantly like market your business, that you'll just get the inquiries and the clients that you need mm-hmm. to keep going is also yes. very nice. But you're like really good at outsourcing. That's like what you do. You do things for other people. But why do you think it's a good idea for me not to do all my business things myself?
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone in the world outsources in their business, except for creatives. You don't often go to the dentist and he's the one also making your appointment and doing the billing and calling reminders in and all of those things. I think as creatives, our businesses usually start really small and they start from a hobby. And so I think in order to grow and grow sustainably, outsourcing is the next step. Because as one person, you can't reasonably wear all of those hats and wear them well, right? You can do them, but are you doing them as well as they could be done? Are you dropping balls? Are your clients suffering? Are you suffering? Is your family suffering? Those are all kind of questions that I like to ask when people are thinking about outsourcing, but I do think that it's the key to long-term sustainability and success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I can hear a voice in my head from someone listening to this and they're like, yeah, I would love to outsource some things, but I can't afford it, because that's usually what happens. You start your business as a hobby, basically. It just grows from nothing. And then your prices are probably so low because you're so new. And then you have to work all the time. So you don't have the time to do all the things you have to do. So it's like you're kind of stuck. How can you get to that point of affording to outsource?
There's a few things. I think, again, it kind of always comes back to pricing, like looking at what you're charging and is it realistic? Like, where did that number even come from? Did it just come from like out of the sky? Like, did you just make up a number? Did you look at your expenses and actually come up with a number that fit what you need to charge to make a profit? So I think that's always like the first step. The second step is, you know, I don't think outsourcing is something you necessarily need to do right off the bat. I always say, if you're struggling to bring in clients, you probably need to hire a coach or someone to help you with marketing or sales versus hiring a virtual assistant right off the bat. A virtual assistant's job is like not to get you clients, but to help you give your clients a better experience. And so if someone's like, I need to outsource, I'm not great at all these things, what do I do first? Or how do I afford it? I would say, look at your pricing. You may need to hire a coach first. They can help you figure out where your best sort of ROI is going to be. But secondly, I think you can also start small, right? Like, maybe think about the thing that really is hard for you to keep up with. So for me, when I first started outsourcing, I started outsourcing my editing. That was an easy thing for me to give up control of once I was able to find a company, you could find just a person to help me do those things that met my specifications of what I was looking for in an editing process. That can take time, but it's built into my session pricing now. So I don't do the editing, but it just kind of is included. So I'm not necessarily like losing that money. Another thing I did when I started outsourcing that didn't cost me a ton was hired an intern. A college student who wanted to learn more about photography came and assisted me on shoots or ran errands for me. I think starting small like that, you don't need to necessarily go out and hire an online business manager like me, who's a little bit more on the higher end of pricing, but there are jobs out there for people to help you outsource some of your tasks that don't necessarily have to cost a ton of money to begin with. And I think starting small when you're beginning the outsourcing process is key to like getting comfortable with that delegating process.
Yeah. But as a photographer, how do you think one can decide what to outsource? Like, how do you begin?
Yeah, for me, I started looking at the things that I either procrastinated, like I can totally edit. I just hate doing it and it takes me forever because I like obsess about white balance. I go back and forth. Like I will adjust a session 45 times, obviously an exaggeration, but a lot. Like it was just taking me way longer than it should have for how simple I tend to edit. And so that for me was a really easy decision. Like I, during a lot of my photography business, especially in the beginning, I worked a full-time job in addition to doing photography. So I was a nanny. I worked 60-hour weeks. I would nanny all day. I did sessions and weddings on the weekends. And so I had to let go somewhere. And that felt like a really easy thing for me to get rid of because I felt like as long as I can find someone who can do it 80% of how well I can do it, it's going to save me a lot of time. And I use a company, I use Photographer's Edit, and I have for years and years and years, but I know people who hire someone and train them themselves. They come into their home. Like there's lots of options within that. But that, I think looking at things that are take up a lot of time, but you could train someone to do as well or better perhaps than you. So now I call my images for my sessions. I send it off. 3 days later, I get the images back. So instead of waiting 2 weeks for a family session, people are getting them within a week. So just thinking that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love outsourcing my editing as well. It saved me so much time and frustration, probably because I do what you do and I just go back and I'm never happy with the white balance. That's always like where I'm stuck. And I do, this is something that I talk to my students about a lot, like outsourcing. And I get a lot of resistance from others on it. Like, I want to do it myself. It's costing so much money. And I think a lot of it has to do with letting go of control. Like, I think that can be really hard. And I think also that a lot of people don't really realize that if, for example, editing, let's just go with that, even though that's not really what you do. But if you outsource editing, you'll free up time to do other things. If you insist on doing it yourself, then you're saying no to other things that you could rather be doing, like catching up on sleep or hanging out with your family or whatever it is. So I think that's true of all kinds of outsourcing. You're basically just giving yourself more time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think part of it, you know, and we can stick with the editing thing. We can talk about some other stuff too, but since I brought that up, like I see every fall wedding photographers, I follow a lot of photographers, a lot of friends that are photographers, and they're like posting this list of like, I'm getting to your session. Here's the list of the editing queue, or I'm staying up till 2 a.m. editing. And it's like, first of all, like, what is that saying to your clients? Everyone does it. And it drives me crazy. You know, and I go back to my hometown and shoot, and I'll go back for 10 days and do 12 to 15 sessions. And within a week or two, those are all delivered. Like, and that's because I outsource it, right? Like I can call, send them off. It takes me less than an hour to call. I mean, super fast if I'm like on using Photo Mechanic or whatever, but I think it actually does a disservice to the client experience, I think. Especially when they see you posting like, have patience, I'm a human, I need sleep too. And I'm like, ask for help. But I do think that there is, specifically with the editing thing, some stigma of like, am I an artist if I give someone else this job? Mm. And I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that mentality, but you know, and I think with, like you said, it's like a trade-off of time. And so even I think of like a common one that wedding photographers outsource to us is albums. You know, if you either sell an album with your package, we just contact the client once the images are in, we get their selections or we help them with their selections or however your process is. We design the album, we do the revisions, we submit it for approval, we do the ordering, all of that stuff. If they didn't buy an album, we also can write them an email after the wedding saying like, hey, do you want to grab an album? This is, you know, a great gift idea for your parents if you already got an album, all those different things, so that it's not just, yeah, we're getting paid to do that. You're paying someone else to do that for you, but it takes that off your plate and you're making money, right? So
yeah,
and that's how I felt about outsourcing like editing and stuff is if I didn't have to sit and edit, I could take more shoots if I wanted to, mm-hmm. or have more lifetime or whatever, more sleep, less stress.
Yes, definitely, which is important. So when someone works with you, how does it work? What do you do?
Yeah, like the process from like inquiry to like starting, or like kind of what specifically are you looking for, I guess?
I guess just like if I realize that, okay, I've got way too much on my plate, I can't handle this, and I come to you and I say, please help. What would you do? How would you begin that?
Yeah, typically it starts with kind of an onboarding meeting where we sit down and talk about your goals. We tend to recommend people work with us a minimum of 3 months just because it takes time to get into a groove. There's a training process to everything. Yes, our learning curve, my learning curve specifically is shorter because I'm also a photographer. So I get how to talk to clients. I know what the best times to shoot are. I can put a wedding timeline together, like all of that stuff. But they're, you know, still like an adjustment to how people like to do things. So we do an onboarding meeting and we typically discuss like for this next quarter, what are your goals? Where areas you're dropping the ball? Here are some things that we think we could help with based on like what we've looked at on your website or that you've mentioned to us, like here, like some ways we would tackle that. We kind of discuss back and forth and work together to figure out the best plan. Like if someone's like, oh my gosh, like my life is full of meetings, I can't ever, it's like back and forth and rescheduling and scheduling, you know, we try to automate that. We ask them if they're using their CRM, which most people are like, I use it for invoicing and contracts and that's about it. So we try to figure out ways that we can make their lives easier, even if they don't continue to work with us long-term. A lot of times with like the online business manager aspect of our business, which is what I do, I have long-term clients who have more than one type of business. So they're photographers and they're getting into education or they do coaching. Whereas like my assistants tend to work with people who maybe just need to get a little bit more organized. Maybe it's a busy season. Maybe they're on maternity leave. Maybe they're preparing for a maternity leave or a vacation and they just need to get some help to get some systems set up. So it can be long-term, it can be short-term, but that's kind of how we typically tackle it, is like a meeting where we really sit down and dive into the meat of like where things are falling through the cracks, where you're procrastinating, and make a plan from there. And then, just start work.
Yeah. So you need like you need the overview first, and then you can start to see like, okay, this is where I can help. And then you basically tackle that.
Yeah. And even as we get into it, there are times, you know, especially over a longer term relationship, there are things that I think of, hey, why don't we try this? Or, hey, this is working, but it could be working better. What do you think about this? So we kind of, it's a mutual relationship where it's, because I have the experience as a photographer and running a business in that aspect, there are things that I can offer or help with that maybe they hadn't even thought of, or, even just getting into meetings with people, sometimes they're like, I don't know how to use my hours. And I'm like, okay, well, what are you not doing that you're supposed to be doing? And it might be like, oh, well, yeah, I guess I have like 5 albums that are stressing me out that I haven't designed yet. Do you want to do those? Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, perfect. What do you think photographers especially do wrong when it comes to outsourcing?
This is a tough one. I think delegating is hard for photographers. And I believe it's just the nature of the way their business grows, which is on your back by yourself, just you. And so delegation is hard. I think there's that mentality of, well, I can just do it in 5 seconds, or it'll just take me a few minutes to do. And so they don't ever bother training anyone, which is fine. But over time, that builds, right? So it's like teach a man to fish, that type of thing. Like, yes, you can do it faster, but if you train me to do it, you don't have to do it anymore. And so I think there's like that barrier and that resistance. It's the control thing, I think. It's a little bit of pride, probably. I think it also plays into societal expectations of women. You know, primarily we work with women. And so I think it's harder for us to give up that kind of like facade of like, we're doing it all and looking great at the same time. And I just, yeah. So I think it's the delegation skills are not there, and also some pride, and also, the kind of like, well, I can just do it faster, or this person did it wrong the first time, and not giving them a chance to like learn it. Kind of being a little too quick to like, write it off as a, this doesn't work for me type of thing.
Do you have any advice for someone who feels ready to outsource? I mean, how should someone treat their assistant or team member? What can they expect?
Yeah, there's a few different things. So, I mean, everyone works a little differently. I really like a collaborative work environment where I'm a team member. I'm part of the business where I, you know, my opinion is valid. Obviously, I don't get the last word. I'm not the owner of the business, but knowing that, you know, I bring ideas to the table as well is really important to me. But I have a team member who really is very task oriented. She wants a list of things to do. She doesn't want to try to tell you how to run your business. And so I think it's kind of on both ends of being really clear with what your expectations are or your wants, and if then the person can meet them, and be honest about if they can meet them or not. So, you know, I work best with someone who's like, let's talk about this. I want to hear your ideas, versus being handed a list of tasks and being micromanaged, where some people might really thrive in that environment. And so I think maybe as you're thinking about outsourcing, to make a list of kind of your wants, knowing that there's no unicorn out there, right? Not everyone is like magically great at everything. Maybe non-negotiables. And what kind of team member you're looking for? Are you just looking for someone to check tasks off your list and you want to be the delegator? Or do you want someone to help you figure out how to best streamline and move your business in the direction that you're wanting?
Sorry to interrupt Jen here. She'll be right back. I just wanted to make sure that you know that you can reach out to me if you want some help in your business. We can work together one-on-one, or you might be a good fit for the Sustainable Photography Program. In case we haven't met yet, I'm Ingvild. I'm an educator and mentor for photographers. I got started as a photographer about 12 years ago, and I had no idea what I was doing. So I spent the next few years making all the mistakes. I charged way too little, I said yes to any client that would come my way, I worked day and night, and I felt all alone all the time. After some time, I learned that actually I love the business side of photography, and I'm quite good at it too. And I want to use everything I've learned to help you avoid all the mistakes that I made. Now, I only work with clients who fuel me and who trust me. I charge way more than I used to, and I work so much less. I've gathered all my knowledge and created a 7-step process that you can use. Self-care and thriving in your life and business is so important. After all, what's the point in getting more clients if you don't even like them? That's why I say that balance is key. You want the right amount of the right clients who pay you the right price. If you're looking for a mentor who'll teach you how to set up your business in a way that lets you thrive and spend more of your time photographing and creating your art by working with clients who want you as their photographer without burning out, working nonstop, or thinking that you can't do this, I can't wait to support you.
I do think that, you know, one thing I notice a lot is when the roles aren't clear, or the expectations aren't clear, or I don't do this is not super clear, it kind of becomes a catch-all position. I think we forget sometimes that I've noticed in my experience, there are times where it comes up of like, I need more clients to, or in order to afford you, how can we fix this? And it's not the virtual assistant's job to get you clients. They can enhance your income in other ways versus like by selling albums or whatever. But I always want to mention that because it feels like don't hire a virtual assistant as a last ditch effort to save your business or to get you more clients. I always say, if you don't have enough clients to support yourself, then it's not the time, right? So hiring virtual assistants, and that's the other thing. I think people get confused on when it's appropriate. And I always say when someone or like within your business or your life is suffering, if your client experience is suffering because you're too busy to follow through and deliver things and be a good communicator and all those things that come along with a client management portion of our work. If you're suffering, if you're so overloaded and stressed, trying to just balance all the behind the scenes stuff and function as a human and do the shooting and all of that, if your family is suffering, like if there are things that you're missing out on that they really need you there for, or you're not able to take time off because you've overbooked yourself, if someone gets sick, those are the three times I think it's like time to sit down and say like, should I hire someone? But then again, get really clear on what it is you're looking for and realize that not one person might not fill all those roles.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good advice. Thanks. Have you ever made any mistakes yourself, like as you were outsourcing or as when you were working with clients on their tasks?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's human nature, right? I've worked with clients that maybe weren't the right fit. I have in my own outsourcing journey, maybe not always been a great delegator either. I think that's a learned skill. I think it's something that's really challenging and it was very hard for me in the beginning, or not wanting to hurt someone's feelings. So even if they weren't a good fit, kind of keeping them on longer than I should have. That's definitely something I've done. I think. And this past year, you know, 2021 was hard for people for a lot of reasons, hard for me in a lot of reasons or in a lot of ways. And kind of really being realistic about my own output, like what I can reasonably deal with in a specific part of my life. And so I think, you know, even this year, there have been times where I've maybe overloaded myself a little bit. So, and then trying to, you know, just making sure that I now either I'm very honest about what I can handle and making sure I have a team there to support me is something that I like really have been working towards a lot, like just being really honest with what I'm capable of. And yeah, mistakes. I mean, I've definitely made mistakes when working with other people. I think everyone does. That's part of the learning process, but.
Absolutely, yeah. What do you think is the reason for your passion to help other businesses or business owners?
Oh, that's a good question. I believe that I love helping other business owners thrive and get to like focus on the things that they love, because I think that there's such an important place in this world for female entrepreneurs specifically. I want them to thrive. I want them to be profitable. I want them to set a goal and surpass it, whether it's, you know, that they want to spend more time with their family and still make the same amount of money, or they want to increase their income, or whatever that looks like for them. Like, I love being able to like cheer someone on, but also be like, let me help you. Let me take some of this burden and do it because I love it. You know, like those are things that I really enjoy. And so I think, the passion really comes from just like wanting to see female entrepreneurs realize that they don't have to do it all themselves. And give them more freedom, because I think that's something especially creative entrepreneurs sort of lack a lot of times.
I think you're right, definitely. So if the person who's listening now wants to do something to start outsourcing or to see if it's a possibility at all, where do they start? What's one thing they can do?
You know, look at your numbers first, see like what's in your budget. Because they're like photographers, you can get a virtual assistant or an online business manager for a wide range of budgets. And start small. I think maybe make a list of like five things that you definitely procrastinate on, that you avoid completely. You know, it's one of those things, it's like, it takes me 20 minutes, but I avoid it for 2 weeks because I just hate doing it. And it might or might not be folding laundry. I don't know. But yeah, thinking about, so looking at your numbers, thinking about what are the tasks you procrastinate on, and then ask your network, like, who do you use? Do you know anyone? I find that is going to be better than just diving into like someone you found on Google search or Fiverr or Craigslist or whatever. Because again, you're trusting someone with your business. Even in the very beginning stages, you're giving this person your passwords. You're trusting that they're doing what they said they're going to do. So a referral from a friend or someone within your network that you trust is going to be a better fit, hopefully, down the line. And so that's usually what I suggest. Also, you know, some of the questions you can ask when you start looking for someone is kind of like, how many hours are included in this package? Like, do I have to use them all? Is it an hourly or is it like a retainer situation? Is it per, you know, some people do per project. There's lots of different ways people do things. So I think just getting really clear whenever you inquire of like what that person actually offers. Because someone who says, I'm a social media specialist, is probably not going to manage your clients, you know, thinking about those types of things.
Yeah, that's great advice. So what would you recommend doing to build a sustainable business?
Oh, start outsourcing, even if it's something small, even if it's like, I do want to be clear, like I am speaking specifically about outsourcing to another person, but I also would consider outsourcing, like systematizing or automating some things. So if you don't respond to inquiries in a timely fashion, maybe setting up an automated email with your pricing information, a place where they can schedule a call with you, maybe that's the first step to outsourcing. If you already have a CRM, it doesn't cost anything. You could probably hire someone hourly to set it up for you if you're like super technologically not, you know, inclined at all. So I think it could be as small as that. It could be hiring an intern, a college student to cull your sessions for you, especially if they're like in an art or photography program. Like they have an eye, they, you know what they're doing. You just have to do a little bit of training on what you're looking for. Maybe they can come carry your bags at a wedding. Deliver or not deliver, but like, if you have stuff that needs to go to the post office, or if you, need a welcome PDF redesigned, like someone like that, who's in college for art or photography would be able to help you with that. So you can even start small where it's like, I'm paying someone $20 an hour or whatever a college student needs for an internship, and giving someone experience, and you're kind of in that same boat. So you don't have to dive into the deep end of like, I'm going to spend, you know, $1,500 and up for someone to be in my business every day.
So perfect. Yeah, that's great. So where can the listener go to keep learning from you, Jen?
Yeah. So my website is jenmadigancreative.com and my Instagram, jenmadigancreative as well. And yeah, I have like some freebies on there. And then my blog has like a bunch of different posts about like tasks a VA can do for you and like kind of different tips and tricks on like when you're starting to outsource, what you can do.
Oh, perfect. I'm going to add that to the show notes so it's easy to find.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Jen. This was amazing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. You're making me want to start outsourcing even more, even though I feel like I'm outsourcing quite a bit, but yeah, just having that freedom of doing other things.
Yeah. I think too, once we release the clutter from our brain, it helps us be more creative. Yeah. I think we tend to store a lot of like, did I send that email? Did that invoice get sent out? Did I mail the welcome gift to so-and-so? Like, oh my gosh, did that contract get signed? And having someone kind of keeping an eye on that for you, it's an adjustment. Because you'll feel like you're forgetting things. You're going to feel that scarcity like monster kind of start to grow. But in time, it will be so much more peace and freedom in time. So yeah, I get addicted to outsourcing things.
Yeah. For a good reason.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thanks, awesome. Jen.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Sustainable Photography. Head over to Instagram at Ingvild Kolnes to tell me what you want future episodes to be all about. Check out the show notes over at ingvildkolnes.com/podcast. You can learn more about the Sustainable Photography Program and sign up for the waitlist there. To get more of this content, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. Your support makes all the difference. Talk soon.